Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Hello. Hello. Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know? If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313 563-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Hi, this is Jenny White, and we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And tonight we have open mic, and you can speak about whatever you'd like to speak about. I have a caller, 293-0979. Sir, would you have something to say?
Yes, just wanted to talk about Monique and her Netflix boycott. She said that they only Netflix offered her $500,000 and offered Amy Schumer $11 million, and she felt that she was more decorated, the most decorated comedian, female comedian out there, in her words. And she felt that, you know, she tried to ask why they only offered her that much and offered Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle $20 million. And she said based on her resume, but then she said that they, Netflix said that they don't go by your resume. And she asked how they came up with those numbers. And they pretty much said their resumes. and so Wanda Sykes put on Twitter that they offered her half of that. So Wanda said they offered her $250,000, and she didn't take it. She went somewhere else with her talents. So what do you think? You think about boycotting Netflix or not really? I thought boycotts were supposed to be for more than one purpose. Supposed to be for a cause. I guess it's Monique's cause.
Well, I can. I understand what she's saying. You know, but I don't think trying to get people to boycott Netflix, I don't think that's going to work. And I understand she's outraged and all of that, but, you know, just take your talent somewhere else. Nobody's going to boycott Netflix for Monique. And someone else, I heard someone say that she's not even relevant, so I'm not sure whether she is or not, but, you know, I don't think that's like me telling everybody. Well, no, not really, because she's more popular than I am. So I wouldn't, if there was something on Netflix I wanted to watch, I would watch it. I wouldn't boycott.
Yeah, she, well, you know, they said that she was blacklisted, you know, once her and Lee Daniels from Empire had their problems.
I thought she had been blacklisted before. You mean she's blacklisted now?
Yeah. Well, I think that's where it started. I don't know. It started before that. But that was definitely a problem. And then I think she said something about Tyler Perry, too, at one point.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I think she shouldn't. She's off the rails. I have another caller who's 248-910-1971. Your mic is open. You may make a comment.
Hello. I'd like to talk about Monique boycotting Netflix.
Okay.
Oh, okay. How's everybody doing?
Oh,
good,
we're fine.
Good.
How are you?
Okay, I'm good. Well, since when was $500,000 not good money? I understand that, you know, she has been, you know, good in the past, but they say this about athletes. You don't pay them for what they did in the past. You pay them for what you think they're going to do in the future. And, you know, if you pay people for what they did in the past, then you'd be losing a lot of money. But nobody's really checking for Monique at this point. You know, who's hot right now is Kevin Hart. Amy Schumer is hot. The girl from Girls Trip, she's kind of hot.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah, she's hot right now. So, I mean, I could see, and they probably wouldn't even pay Tiffany Haddish that type of money, and she's actually hot right now. So, you know, Monique had her day, the early 2000s, you know, with the Parkers and you know, all of those other movies that she did and Queens of Comedy and all of that stuff. But, you know, nobody really, ever since she did Precious, nobody's really checking for Monique right now. So I think if I was her, 500 grand, pay the taxes, and just, you know, ride off into the sunset, she could have made it like her last big hurrah. And hey, you know,
well she too young to be having a last hurrah. I mean, you know, I'm sure she's trying to work for the next 20-30 years, you know. And I'm sure she ain't trying to ride off into the sunset yet. She probably still in her 40s.
I think $500,000 would be good for me, but not for Monique.
Yeah, I would say that what I would do is just take the 500 grand. I would take the 500 grand. I would, you know, like I said, it's good money now. This is a recession, I guess. I would say take the 500 grand and run. She was relevant in the past. She's not really relevant now. So, you know, maybe this would have jump-started her career.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, let's switch subjects and talk about something else. Let's talk about the Me Too movement. How about that?
Who?
Me Too. Me Too, all the sexual harassment going on.
Yeah, I don't agree with this Me Too. I think, was that question directed towards me?
Anybody.
I think, in my opinion, now the problem is, I want to say a disclaimer: if any of this has actually happened, that is not good. I don't condone violence of any kind, especially sexual violence towards women. But I feel like it's become a witch hunt, where all you have to do is make an accusation, and I think that's unfair because we're supposed to live in the country where you're innocent until proven guilty. And I think, unfortunately, you got all of these people who have not had an opportunity to have their day in court. They've been accused, and because they've been accused, they've lost their job, their livelihood. And again, if they did it, shame on them, and they get whatever they deserve. But a lot of these people are saying, you know, they deny it, but even so, they losing their job just for the accusation.
Well, remember,
yeah.
I mentioned that to you when you first began teaching Samaj, and I would say that even so, once it's put out there, that whether it's true or not, you know, somebody's going to believe it. And it's going to mess you up regardless. So my thought on that is I feel that a lot of the women, not a lot, maybe some, a few of the women may have encouraged the behavior because, especially with Weinstein, because they wanted to further their careers. That's my thought on that. That's like the lady that went to who? Mike Tyson's hotel. I mean, if you go, that's like this other guy. When the lady came out and said, and they're talking about it's a bad date that they had.
Mm-hmm.
She came out and said they went to dinner. They rushed through dinner, got back to his place. And as Wendy puts it, he did a professional on her. She did one on him. And then when he called her the next day, she told him that something about she wasn't happy about it. And then she came out and said it was me too. So that's, you know, not entirely true. See, everybody is trying to jump on the bandwagon. I don't know what that's about. What do you think about Nassar and the judge allowing all those women to speak?
Well, I mean, you know, the president of the university has since resigned.
Yes, she resigned. And the athletic director, he's gone as well.
Yeah, and this comes a couple of days after one of the board of directors, Joel Ferguson, had a radio interview and made some comments that came off a little insensitive and was adamant that she would not resign. And there you go, a couple of days later she does. And so, you know, they're starting to call for some of the board to resign.
Yeah, they I feel as if it was known what was going on. What I can't understand is that at some point parents were in the room at times, and I'm not understanding that part of it with the parent being in the room and him doing anything that he should not be doing. I don't know. I don't understand how that works.
Well, maybe
but
he didn't
I'm
do anything
sure.
when the parent was in the room.
Well, maybe so. You're right. So I don't know. But there was a young lady on TMZ, and she said she has been singing about the what was going on since 2008, and no one was paying any attention to her. She was a gymnast as well. But she's been telling him that it's been cool for a long time.
Wow.
And nobody's been listening. No one has been listening. And now Bill Cosby has to go back to court.
Yeah, especially with this Me Too movement. I know he hating that.
Yeah. Well, at least they put his show back on. I don't know if they're allowing him to get any funds from it, but I don't know.
I think it's on Radio 1 Network, TV 1. So I'm sure.
I don't know.
You got to pay him. You just can't
take
his content and not pay him.
But doesn't he have to pay? He doesn't have a civil suit against him?
I'm not sure. He may. He might.
I don't know. This is crazy. My thing is this. When the head is bad, everything goes to pot. The body can't work if the head is bad. We have a president who has no clue about how to be a president. And he's I can't say as bad as it gets, but he's bad. And now all of these things are coming out. I mean, everything is crazy. And the wall and you know, you're keeping people out. And he said Norway, those are only people he wants, the white folks. And Norway said, don't worry about it. We're not coming. They don't want to come over here.
Right. Yeah, they don't want no parts of this.
No. Well, we don't either. But we, you know, we have no choice. And then he's sending people back who've been here 30 years. Back where? Where are they going? I mean, who's back there to receive them? I mean, what is going on? He's sending people out of the country. They want to make the country white. That's not going to happen.
No,
that's not
going to
happen.
And
Trump needs to
again.
Well, and I can't understand the evangelicals. But they must be racist, too. I don't know. They're supposed to have all these high standards. But Trump's standards are as low as they can go, and they still stand by him. So I don't understand that. I really don't.
Man, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. They for the white people. So,
yeah.
And
to hell
right.
with everybody else, huh?
Pretty much.
Well, what they're trying to do is they heard they got the memo. Within the next few years, they're going to be the minority. And
yep,
they're trying to head that off at the pass.
They can't stand it.
Mm-mm, they can't. They think this is their country, which is not true. That's like I can say, God is my God, but he's not your God. That's not true.
Well, I mean, they did a lot in the name of the Lord, the name of religion. It's lynching a lot of people with the Bible. And I think a lot of that was used religion to control the slaves, too, to control people.
Well, and that's all we had. But I found out, and it's already in the Bible. I guess if I had read it, I should have known it, that particular portion. But we were going over a lesson, and it was brought out that when the devil gave Eve the apple, Adam was right there with her.
Okay.
And that's in the book. It's in the book.
So
it's in Genesis. The point I'm making is that God gave Adam the law. He told him, and what he could eat of every tree except that one. That's what God told him. So when, you know, the enemy came up and he started twisting God's word and said, did he really say you were going to die? You're not going to die. You know. So anyone else out there listening, like 248-910-1971, if you have a comment, you can make it. Your mic is open. But when he gave her the apple, and she bit it, nothing happened. But then she turned around and gave it to him. And when he bit it, it was a whole different story, because he was the one God gave the law to. And if he was standing right there beside her when the enemy was doing all his talking, he should have told her no, at any rate. He didn't, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. I mean, they were in cahoots together. So.
Yeah, well, they got kicked out, and then we have, that's the first sin. Yeah, the first sin. And then they had children, Cain and Abel. Then we had the first murder.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Nephilim?
Who?
Nephilim in the Bible.
No.
Okay.
But I'd
Nephilim.
Like to mention, I'm sorry, let me stop you for a minute. I'd just like to mention to anyone that just tuned in that my guest is not available this evening, and we're doing open mic. So you may speak on whatever you would like to speak on. And that's what we're doing right now. Okay, you can go ahead.
Yes, I was just asking if you're familiar with Nephilim in the Bible, in Genesis.
I don't think so.
The Nephilim were giants on earth. They were angels that fell from heaven, and they were lovers of
the women,
the daughters of men. So the human
mm-hmm.
women and the angels started getting together and created Nephilim. So they were actually giant people. That,
so these are fallen angels?
Yes, these were fallen angels that came down here and started having sex with women and creating a bloodline of people that, you know, will reject God and his word. That's why God created the flood to kill, you know, the Nephilim and the people that were on earth, Sodom and Gomorrah and all that. And so it's believed that one of Noah's his son, one of his sons was married. I'm trying to think of his name.
He had Ham and Shem, I think it was.
Let's see. Well, one of his sons.
I have a Bible scholar on, and they can tell you what Noah's son's name were. Miss, can you tell us what Noah's son's names were?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, so you was referring to me, huh? Okay, one was Ham, one was Sham, and one was Jephthah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had three. Didn't he have a daughter?
Sons. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
Noah had three sons.
Okay.
Well, it shows, I just Googled it. It shows four. Shem, Japheth, Ham, and then they have another one that says Ham.
Cannon.
Now, they've got three pictures on here, but they don't have one for Yam, so I don't know how accurate that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But,
let me see, the one that saw his father's nakedness, that was...
Was that Ham? Oh, that's right. He had three, because two of them put the blanket up or something and backed out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I guess he laughed at his dad because he was
And
naked.
His dad was...
You know what? I heard another story about that. I heard that the son that was laughing at his dad had gone in there and sexually molested his father. Now,
oh, my Lord.
You never heard that? I've heard it, but...
My cup is full. You know, I can't just think of all of it, but I might have. Okay, and he said, oh, curse be Canaan. Okay, so I might have heard
right.
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
okay,
so, but anyway, right here, and the sons of Noah that went forth in the ark were Shem and Ham. And Jephthah, or whatever his name is, okay, and Ham is the father of the Canaans. Okay.
Okay.
And it said, now these are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread.
Okay, now who I was looking for, the name that I was looking for was Cush. Cush.
Cush, that is not, I don't think that's his son.
That's Ham's older son.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Hey, but it's
that's
not
Ham's.
Noah's son.
No, that's Ham's older son.
That's
so
his
Noah
grandson.
Noah was his grandfather, right. But Cush had a son named Nimrod with...
Oh, well, we know about him building the Tower of Babel.
Right. Now, Cush... they said that his let's see how this went. Cush's wife was supposed to have had sex with It wasn't Cush. Whatever happened, and I have to read the story over again, is Nimrod, he married his mother. And his mother ended up having him killed. And so he was supposed to be. Yeah, but Nimrod, his birthday was December 25th. And his mother had several names. Let's see.
I remember what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of her names sounds is like Ishtar. So it sounds like Easter. And so, you know, it said that
if I'm not mistaken, when we was in that class that we took at
Faith Bible Institute,
and if I'm not mistaken, Pastor Yates said that, is it Louisiana, I think, where he is still looked up to? I think
who,
that's what
Deborah?
Pastor Yates said. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I believe that's what he said. Because, you know what, this mother... and I have all, you know, as I say, sometimes I can't think off the top of my head now. But his mother did, it was as if she wanted him to be the, what was it, the god or something like that. And so he is looked up to. And I do remember reading that. I can't just off the top of my head right now remember exactly where that was, but I do remember that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the point you were trying to make,
The point I was trying to make was Nimrod was, it was kind of insinuated that maybe his mother was pregnant by one of the Nephilim, and so the Nephilim blood continued on the ark because she was on the ark. And, you know, when Jesus had the flood, you know, he was trying to wipe out all of the Nephilim bloodline. And so it was insinuated that she may have been pregnant by Nephilim, and therefore Nimrod was possibly had Nephilim blood in him. So, but
I don't know about that. No, I'm not familiar about that, but I do know that people like to add and subtract, you know, to the words. But I can't speak about that one way or the other because I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up again.
Yeah, I, let's see.
And I'm supposed to be studying.
Yeah, let me read this brief definition on the Nephilim. They were the offspring of the Son of God and the daughters of men before the deluge, according to Genesis 6, 1 and 4 of the Bible. When people began to multiply on the face of the ground and daughters were born to them, the sons of God, which are the angels, saw that they were fair, and they took wives for themselves of all that they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not abide in mortals forever, for they are flesh. Their days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God went into the daughters of humans who bore children to them, these were the heroes that were of old, warriors of renown." Okay. So they
say, you know, I had heard about that. I had heard somewhere along the line, I had heard about the giants who came down and had children by these women.
Okay. Well, you know, I read that in the Bible also, and now the sons of God, they came down through the godly line of Seth.
Okay, say that again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, looking at a footnote here, it says the sons of God, possibly the godly line of Seth, and these was ungodly kings and kinglets of that day. A group of fallen angels who, because of this unique sin, was confined. All right.
Okay. Yeah, well, I just thought that that was an interesting side note to talk about Nephilim in the Bible and in Genesis. You know, they were right there in the beginning. And sometimes, you know, we skip to the middle and the end. Revelation, you know, and they kind of overlook some of the things that were in the beginning. And, you know, it can kind of explain sometimes how men are, how humans are, you know, men and women on earth. But I just thought that was pretty interesting. You know, I'm not a biblical scholar.
Okay.
But let's talk about the color of Jesus. Was Jesus white, black?
Oh my gosh.
Why do you say that? Do you know?
You know,
he said,
what?
Let's talk about the color. What now?
Oh,
the color, color of Jesus. Yeah. What color?
Oh,
is
the
Jesus?
Color of Jesus. Oh, okay.
Because
nobody
because
can
of a lot
see
of,
him.
I mean,
and
is he
live.
Black Jesus
He's
or white?
Spirit.
Jesus?
Mm-hmm. Okay,
well,
now
Jesus,
the Bible said that no one has been able to see God and live, you know, because he's too powerful, and that was why he sent Jesus into the world. In
Jesus.
Reading the scriptures, it did say that Jesus had bushy hair and
feet of brass.
Uh-huh, yeah, and it said that. However, though, but nobody has seen God and live. And you know what? In Exodus,
he wouldn't
he
even show himself to Moses.
Uh-huh.
And
Moses
asked
on the back
if
part
he
of
could
him.
See him.
Moses
no,
he told
him
he would. He could see his
Jesus.
Back.
I'm talking about God.
Oh, well, if you can see God, you know doggone well, you're not going to see his son. I mean, they did see him. They did
yeah,
when he came down as a human.
They mm-hmm.
touched
as a human. Yeah, so what color was it? Because I see a lot
I don't
of
know.
Where,
I wasn't there.
No,
well,
I mean,
we know
he was,
that.
He still quotes
well,
the Bible. He still quotes the Bible. You wasn't. I'm just saying that in a lot of the pictures I see next to Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, he white. That's white Jesus.
Well,
I'm
you haven't gone anywhere and seen a black one.
Oh,
I've
yeah,
seen several
I've seen
black
yeah.
ones. I know.
Yeah, I pray to black Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, you know.
Well,
hey,
you know what
and
the Bible
Jesus?
Says. And this is in Ephesians, that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism,
and
one God, and he's in us all, and he's through us all.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible in Galatians 4, the Bible said that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son born of a lady, of a woman. Didn't say a lady, of a woman. And so, but the most important thing is that he did come into the world. That's the most important thing.
And he
and, you
died.
Know, sometimes people get hung up on color. As
salvation.
I said, though, the most important thing is knowing that he came into the world for us and God sent us the best that he has and the greatest gift that he has, and that greatest gift was Jesus.
Yeah, I agree with that, but don't you think that it plays a role if you think that for black people, I would say, you know, it plays a role if you think Jesus is white. If you see a white person, you think that they're superior to you or they're closer to Jesus because Jesus is white. I mean,
no,
be more...
and you know what? Because the Bible said he has no respect of persons.
That's what he said. Oh.
Yeah,
said he has no respect of persons.
Okay.
And in his eyesight, we all are the same.
No,
what'd you
I
say,
Samaj?
All right, so I'm back. There's a couple of things. And so Jesus was a man who walked on the earth, so he definitely had a color. And the Bible says, and we know through literature and history, that Jesus was Jewish.
He was Jewish. That's why I said he was dark.
His own,
he was,
and his own received him not. So he was a Jewish.
And that's in John, John chapter 1.
And then he
spread
out to the Gentiles.
So because
what
the Jewish people did not accept him. They did not receive him. And because of that, thank God for that, that he spread out to us as Gentiles. And
what was your thought, Maj? Finish your thought.
Right. So the only reason that I said that was because we know that no man has seen God and lived and all of that. But Jesus was a whole man, you know, who walked and you know, went to a wedding and all of that. He was a man, and he was a Jewish man. And so if you are to look at history, that shows that Jesus was Jewish. So he wasn't pale white. He wasn't African. He was Jewish, which means he probably had, again, like the Bible says, bronze skin, like darker colored skin, olive colored skin, you know, and he had hair like lamb's wool, meaning that, you know, it was curly like Jewish people. So Jesus was Jewish. Historians will tell you that white people wanted to, they could not fathom the Savior of the world looking any other color other than blue-eyed, blonde hair. And so the Anglo-Saxon version of Jesus that everybody has seen before in their lives, the one that's, you know, in so many paintings, that was, according to some, again, this is just a theory, according to some, that was so that all people could look unto the Savior of the world and see him as this pale, blonde-haired, blue-eyed person. And so you, just by assimilation, will look at white people as pure, clean. You could, I mean, the people who want to portray this narrative of white people rule the world, they could not portray Jesus as a dark-skinned person. I mean, that would have been blasphemous. And so that's where history, and that's why we have to be knowledgeable, but we also have to study to show ourselves approved. And, you know, the history will tell us that, you know, again, and this has been a debate for centuries, but Jesus was a Jewish person. He was. And so, like I said, if you look at Jewish people, they have curly hair a lot. They have dark curly hair, and they have dark
skin. And their
skin, not
skin is dark. I mean, it's not white.
So why would we think that Jesus would look any other way than what other Jewish people look like? I mean, you know, and again, the Bible does say, you know, skin is like, was it bronze? Hair like lamb's wool. And he was Jewish. So he probably looked like a typical Jewish person with dark curly hair and darker colored skin. But again,
you know what, though?
Mm-hmm.
My focus is not on what he looks like. My focus is that he came down and he died that we might have a right to salvation. And he loves us. And that's what we should focus on. Because he loves us, we are supposed to love others.
Well, I agree with that. But, I mean, you know, you can't, you know, take one thing and not take the other. I mean, you know, you can't study the Bible and then, you know, just leave out, you know, certain parts. You know, so
I'm not trying to leave out the part. The part I focus on is that me, with my pitiful self, he loves me.
And
no, that's
not what I mean.
He loves us all. But the thing,
I personalize it.
People have used religion against us, you know, and they've used the color of Jesus
to become
more superior.
And that's a real thing, and I think that we would be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge that. So the great thing about all of us on this phone is that we're all believers. We all have confessed Christ, and all of that's great. And I'm glad that we, you know, have a relationship with Jesus and God. But just the humanistic part, there is another side to this. And because color and race is so prevalent even today, it's a conversation that I think is worth having, because you still, I mean, we have a president right now whom he's a respecter of persons. And so I think it's a very, you know, it's a real authentic, just like the girl from Atlanta, who she was a journalist and she got called a nigger online or something, and she had to, you know, respond back. I mean, it's 2018 and people are still judging people based on, you know, how they look. Melanin is in their skin. So I think it's an authentic conversation to have. I think, you know, and I do believe that the European version, like I said, the historians who want to portray a narrative that white is right and, you know, black is not right, I think there is people who paint Jesus that way know what they're doing. That's my opinion. Because nobody knows.
Yeah,
but
you know what? Some black people think white is right too.
Yeah, and that's just like, you know, our history has been whitewashed to the point of where, you know, you'll see certain characters played in Hollywood, and, you know, you'll believe Cleopatra was white because Elizabeth Taylor played her, you know, or you'll think Moses was white because Yul Brynner played him in the Ten Commandments, and so. You know, we're led to believe that all creation came from white people. All things came from white people, you know, math and everything. Because that's the story.
Well, let me ask you two men, do you think that because of slavery and the way the black men were treated, do you think that today that has something to do with whether or not do you really think that is important today, 2018, what happened during slavery with the white
people? Oh, yeah.
Do you think that has something to do with where you are now and how you're portrayed or how you're looked at?
Yeah, I mean, they're still shooting on black people, you know. So white America's afraid of a black planet. They're, you know, they're afraid of losing their power and their position.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I mean, history, like they say, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So
absolutely.
We have to know, and we have to teach these kids, too, because as the elders pass away, you know, so goes the history that goes with them. So we have
That's
to document
true.
And ask questions and teach our kids, you know, that we don't live in a colorblind society, even though it may, the further we go, you know, in the new millennium, in the 21st century and beyond, it seems like, you know, there's a lot of mixing, you know, with black and white and, you know, so it seems like, you know, black in America or colors are getting lighter because it seems like we're all blending together. So, you know, I think it is very much relevant today because.
Okay, let me ask Samaj. Are you a millennial, uh-huh. Samaj?
I think I'm technically Generation X. I think millennials are like right before, you know, the Y2K and all of that.
Okay. So you feel the same way as the baby boomer who just got through speaking, your brother.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, you have to. You have to know your history. You have to know because our history is who we are. And where I messed up is if you don't know history for yourself, then somebody else will teach you history, but they're going to teach you his story, which is
they're going to teach their history.
Right, his story. That's what history means. His, H-I-S, space, S-T-O-R-Y. So his story will have you believe that Europeans came to America and discovered it and had to save it from the savages that were roaming around. Whereas history, once you realize these people had their own land, they weren't bothering nobody, and these historians came and forced their way and then made them they made them sick, first of all, brought all of those.
Yeah, they gave them chicken pox, yes.
You know, and then forced them, you know, to go west on the Trail of Tears. Now, again, history will teach you that Great Thanksgiving was when the white people came and sat down with the Native Americans, and they all sat around and had peaceful corn and turkey and all of that. These people came to conquer. And there was no doubt in their mind that they was coming. They didn't care who was here. In the name of the king, they were trying to expand their territory.
But you know what? They're still doing the same thing today.
Well, that's why you got to know your history. That's the answer to that question. That's why you have to know your history. That's why you have to know about the riots in Detroit, and you have to know about the you know, the what's that, the Tuskegee Project, when they, you know, would do scientific projects and experiments
and
on human
beings. That's why I don't take flu shots today.
That's
the reason I don't take those free shots from the government. No, I do not take them.
You're right.
I don't know what kind of test they doing now.
That's true.
I'm just saying, it's just one of those things where you have to know your history. It's again, even the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. You have to know what's going on. You have to know, you know, knowledge. You have to be knowledgeable about stuff. You should want to know everything. I know everybody doesn't know everything, but you should want to know more about your heritage. You should want to know more about what makes you tick, what makes us tick as African Americans. You know, there are certain things that happen to us that may not happen to other people. We're more prone to sickle cell. You know why? That's part of history, you know? So, I don't know. You definitely need to know history.
Okay. That was a very good conversation.
Oh, yeah. Not bad for open mic.
No, it wasn't. And what I'd like to do is get final thoughts from everyone. And those of you that called in, I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening. And I'm sorry my guest couldn't make it tonight. She had a crisis, a client crisis. So I don't know what that means, but it didn't sound good.
Well, that means you gotta be flexible and keep it moving.
Oh, absolutely. I think we did great.
Oh yeah.
With everybody on the phone, Maceo, Samaj, Tommy, and my husband's here.
We didn't hear from Lucy tonight.
But you know what?
Lucy,
I agree.
Lucy told me she wasn't coming on when I told her it was about surviving in prison. And it might be
Lord.
Because her brother went to prison, so she wasn't. No, she didn't want any parts of that, wasn't it?
No, okay. She
but
if
we'll have this conversation. We'll have this conversation about prison another time. But not tonight. So can I get final thoughts from each of you?
Well, I suppose it had been shampooing my hair, right? But you know what? I agree with Samaj and what's the other one name?
Maceo.
Mm-hmm. We do need to know our history. However, when you get my age, you know, you forget about a lot of that stuff. And people do look at color, and especially we realize that the white people, for some reason, you know, they take it for granted that that Jesus was white, but we know he was not white. And then we just thank the Lord that God loved us so that he sent Jesus into the world for each one of us, you know. And he gave us that choice whether we are going to accept him or deny him.
Yeah, he did.
And so I thank the Lord for that. And then when I called, I had planned to just listen. I was not aware that I was going to be called out. So,
well, thank you for your comments.
Oh, you caught me
thank
off guard. Okay.
That's
yes.
All right. You were up to the task. Thank you for listening in. I appreciate it. So who's next with their final thoughts?
I can give my final thoughts. I think that the show was very good for open mic, and you know, it's just a matter of talking about things that are relevant to
right.
you know everybody. And then once you get on a subject like that, you know, you can go on and talk about it for days. So
right.
Sometimes you know we don't agree on everything, so we have to agree
That's
to
true.
Disagree on certain
That's
you know subjects and things, but I think all in all, it was a great conversation, great show. Glad you had it.
Thank you. Okay, Samaj.
Yeah, I ditto. I would say that this was a really good show. It's good that you know are having the show. It's very educational and it keeps everybody in the loop. So you know, continue to have it. And make sure that, you know, even if people can't come in, you know, always have an open mic because it's a lot of people with a lot of different opinions who are very smart. And we, you know, they might want to, you know, make their voice heard. So great show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys. And I'd like to read a poem someone gave me. It says, "Drinking from the Saucer" by John Paul Moore. I've never made a fortune, and I'll never make one now, but it really doesn't matter because I'm happy anyhow. As I go along my journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I don't have a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but with kin and friends to love me, I think I'm rich enough. I thank God for the blessings that his mercy has bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. He gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough. I'll not ask for other blessings, for I'm already blessed enough. May we never be too busy to help bear another's load. Then we'll all be drinking from the saucer when our cups have overflowed.
Mm.
I
all
thought
right.
that was very nice.
Yes,
I
it
hope
is.
You guys
it
enjoyed
is.
It. And I'd like to say I appreciate you guys. I really do. I love my sons. And I love my friend, and I even love my silent husband. And I thank you guys.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
We are all in the archives. I just like for you to know that if somebody starts looking for a way to survive in prison, they're gonna come up on a lot of conversation about Jesus, and that's all good. It's always all good
right.
to talk about him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Okay,
tonight,
well, I'm going to let you go so I can shampoo my hair.
Go ahead.
But good night.
Okay, good night.
Right.
And with that, I will end the show. And thank you, guys. And next week, we'll be back in the saddle again, shall I say. Thank you, my boys.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
And Samaj, kiss those babies for me.
I sure will.
And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Good night.